SBS Radio.
Call for the establishment of a National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People was launched yesterday. Climbing Uluru will be banned tomorrow. And award-winning musician and Indigenous storyteller Archie Roach was named the 2020 Victoria Australian of the Year. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. A digital policy paper calling for the establishment of National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People was launched by the Secretariat of National Aboriginal Islander Child Care, SNAIC and Family Matters Campaign. Richard Weston, newly appointed CEO of SNAIC, said that a dedicated National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children will provide much-needed oversight and accountability for systems and services, ensuring that the rights of Indigenous children are protected. The CEO of SNAIC added that the main reason for this call is the national crisis we are facing.
The fundamental reason is that we have a crisis with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children going into out-of-home care at ever-increasing numbers. And we think that a dedicated children's commissioner would help put a brake on that and help keep governments accountable and so maintain a focus on addressing this issue over the next 5 to 10 years.
On Saturday, 26th of October 2019, the ban of climbing Uluru will come to effect 2 years after it was first announced. The rush to beat the ban on climbing the rock from Saturday has continued right to the end, with big numbers expected even on the last day, Friday 25th of October. After the last of the climbers comes down, workers will immediately start removing all evidence climbing was ever allowed on Uluru. Uluru is a sacred site and of great spiritual significance to many people, including the Anangu traditional owners. Donald Fraser, former Uluru Gadjatutia National Park Board Chair, told NITV.
It's about time the Tjukurrba and the rock gonna have a rest instead of, you know, tapping along with shoes and everything else all the time, because that is a sensitive area and we need to close it.
Northern Territory Senator Malandiri McCarty said,
"We are the oldest living culture in the world, and the message that our country is sending to the world is that we are making sure that that strength in culture stays strong."
The Anangu people will celebrate with a ceremony at the Rock on Sunday night. NITV will be covering the closure of Uluru on air and online. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in New South Wales experience double the rates of significant economic disadvantage than the general population, according to a new study released this week. The study found out that more than 888,000 people are living below the poverty line in New South Wales. The study also found out that more than 16% of New South Wales children are living in poverty, while women make up 53.6% of all people over the age of 15 living below the poverty line in New South Wales. Unemployed people are much more likely to be living in poverty, but some 5% of people in full-time work are also disadvantaged. The study from New South Wales Council of Social Service and the University of Canberra National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling correlates to the most recent census data for the 2015-16 financial year. Anna Basik from the New South Wales Council of Social Service said that it's entirely possible the figures will be even higher now due to low wages and the ongoing effect of the drought in the regional areas. The Victorian government has rejected a proposal to rename Melbourne's iconic Yarra River to recognise its traditional owners. It argues the current name is itself iconic and says the government has already taken steps to protect the river's Indigenous heritage. Acting Lord Mayor of Melbourne City Council, Aaron Wood, says it's crucial that Aboriginal stakeholders are engaged before the idea goes any further.
A non-Indigenous person may not think that a changing of a name is overly important. What we do know is it's a real sign of respect to our Aboriginal community members, and really what we should be doing is taking advice from them on any name changes.
Award-winning musician and Indigenous storyteller Archie Roach was named the 2020 Victoria Australian of the Year. The 63-year-old musician said as he accepted the award that we live in the most blessed country on this earth. He will join winners from across the country for the announcement of the National Awards on Australia Day Eve in Canberra. Roach runs Ruby Foundation, named after his late wife, which looks to improve opportunities for young First Nations people through art and culture. In 1992, Archie Roach won his ARIA Awards for his 1990 debut album Charcoal Lane. For his iconic Stolen Generation song The Children Away, he received a Human Rights Achievement Award. A conference that explores the challenges women from culturally diverse backgrounds face at workplace will be held in Melbourne. The Victorian Public Sector Women of Colour Conference will take place on Monday, 28 October at the Immigration Museum in Melbourne. Maurice Blackburn lawyers partner Azmina Hussein, who will be emceeing the conference, told NITV Radio.
The conference will explore the barriers and challenges women from culturally diverse backgrounds commonly face in the workplace, along with the need to improve workplace health and safety practices and achieve greater representation in leadership roles across the VPS.
One of the aims of the conference is to come up with an action plan and a set of key recommendations to be implemented across the Victorian public sector. The conference is supported by the Australian Multicultural Foundation and hosted by Maurice Blackburn Lawyers together with the Community and Public Sector Union. Protesters caught using complex lock-on devices during demonstrations will face jail time and fines under new laws passed in Queensland. The laws ban devices like the Dragon's Den and Sleeping Dragon that have been used by climate activists in recent weeks and give police more powers to search demonstrators. The controversial measures passed Parliament 86 votes to 1. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has until today afternoon to refer Energy Minister Angus Taylor to police over an allegedly forged document, or Labour says it will. The accusations stem from a letter Mr. Taylor sent to Sydney Lord Mayor Clava Moore last month, criticising her council for spending $15 million on domestic and international travel last financial year. He cited the council annual report, but the document, which is published online, shows the council spent just over $6,000 on travel during that time. Labour's climate change spokesman Mark Butler says he'll refer the matter to the New South Wales Police if Morrison doesn't.
We thought, particularly given that the Prime Minister said at the beginning of the week that no one was above the law, that when the evidence had been laid out in the way in which we tried to do in question time and a number of media organisations have done over the last 24 hours, that the Prime Minister would put that principle into practice and demonstrate that even one of his cabinet ministers would be subject to the law under his new doctrine. Well, he's all talk, no action.
The creation or knowing use of a forged document in attempt to influence a public duty is punishable under New South Wales law by up to 10 years in prison. Overseas now. A British university professor says the death of 39 Chinese nationals in a truck container are the result of tough border controls. The refrigerated trailer was leased this month from a rental company which says it was unaware how the truck was being used. Detectives are still questioning the 25-year-old driver from Northern Ireland on suspicion of murder, and he remains in custody. University of Birmingham professor Nando Sigona says the discovery is not surprising given the refugee crisis and limited opportunities for migrants to reach Europe.
These are all victims of the way that the border operates. It's a victim of a very aggressive border politics, of the closure of the migration routes. So some people may end up dying on a boat crossing the Mediterranean. Other people may die in the back of a lorry, frozen. But it's the same sort of system that produced those tragic deaths.
The death follow warnings from the National Crime Agency and Border Force about the increased risk of people smuggling via Belgium. Turkey's defense ministry hasn't yet responded to accusations that Kurdish-led Syrian forces are attacking Syrian villages against a ceasefire agreement. Russia says a peace deal it struck with Turkey is going smoothly, but there are concerns about violations in three villages threatening civilians. From Tuesday, Russian and Turkish forces will start to patrol land in northeast Syria, where U.S. troops were deployed alongside Kurdish allies. Belgium's Foreign Minister Didier Reynders says he is not against a German plan to establish a security zone in northern Syria to protect displaced residents.
We are not opposed in principle to thinking about an international zone formula. For the moment, there is a situation on the ground that has evolved as a result of the agreements between Turkey and Russia. We see how things are going. We'll first look at the more concrete information about the situation on the ground before seeing if an initiative such as this one can actually be implemented. The situation on the ground has changed.
To sports now. In cricket, Harry Neilson, the son of former Australian coach Tim Neilson, has guided the Prime Minister's 11-0 T20 victory against Sri Lanka in Canberra. The hard-hitting wicketkeeper hit 79 of 49 balls and also took three catches as Australia chased down Sri Lanka's 8-231 with one ball and one wicket to spare. Outside man of the match Neilson, the PM's 11th effort with the bat was woeful, with only veteran all-rounder Dan Christian joining the 24-year-old in double figures with 13. Former international Chris Lynn was a notable failure, scoring just 3. In basketball, Ben Simmons has led a revamped Philadelphia 76ers to a 107-93 victory over Boston Celtics. Melbourne-born Simmons was electrifying in the win, scoring 24 points, 9 assists and 8 rebounds. Let's have a look at today's weather. Broome, mostly sunny and maximum of 32. Perth, also mostly sunny with the tops of 23. Adelaide today will have a shower or two and wind with the tops of 19. Melbourne also shower or two with the tops of 24 degrees. Hobart will be becoming windy and partly cloudy with the tops of 26. Canberra shower or two and 30 degrees. Wollongong mostly sunny and 32. Sydney pretty much the same and 36 degrees. Brisbane similar conditions and 28. Townsville, partly cloudy and the tops of 30. Cairns will have a shower or two and 29. Darwin, there is a possibility of shower or a storm with 33. And Alice Springs, partly cloudy with the tops of 34.
sbs.com.au